This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Let's go to Mike. Guess where Mike is calling from?
Tinton Falls?
Yes. Now, Mike, let me ask you. Rick is going to be taking his high school team that he coaches and leads down to, as you know, Tinton Falls. I think you should go to the game.
I would love to.
Great. I expect you at the game, Mike.
Hey, and Dave, on a little side note, I just want you to know my brother is Ramapo alum.
Well, what does that do for me?
He thinks you went to Ramapo. Dawn went to Ramapo.
I went to Ramapo. Look at me.
This conversation took a wrong turn.
This DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Everyone knows that Don went to Ramapo.
I went to Ramapo. Look at me.
No, Mike didn't.
That's
on 98.7 ESPN.
Big 6 o'clock hour. DPHRO and Rothenberg with you on 98.7 ESPN. Time now for a little Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I feel like I might have been mean to Mike, but he was so excited to tell me that his brother also went to Ramapo.
Yeah, but that's who you are. I mean, that's the expectation from you now.
That I'll be mean?
Yeah, that you get you mean like that.
You don't, if someone didn't know me and said, tell me about your co-host, in your descriptors, I don't think you would say mean.
I'm a baby.
I don't
You're
think so.
You're a baby.
You
well,
are
mean slash
slurping
honest.
On it.
Like, we keep going over this. Sometimes it's your delivery. You're too honest. And sometimes you get a little bit snappy.
Check out your thermostat there, Bubbles. What do you got?
To the point, what did you say before the show that was actually meant to be a compliment? And because you've beaten down Ray so
often. So we're talking about Squid Game. And I finished it yesterday. And I love it, by the way.
Which is amazing, by
wonderful.
The way, that you get 2 days, you go through the entire.
No, it wasn't two, it was four. I started Monday and finished Thursday. I think that's well within reason.
Hey, I also watched the first episode yesterday.
You did?
Yes.
And?
I despise the guy. I hate him.
Wait, which guy do you hate?
The main guy.
Really?
I can't stand him.
Oh, I think you'll grow to love him.
Was stealing his mother's credit card, and
yeah,
then he's a deadbeat.
Yeah, I think you'll grow to love him.
Gets his daughter the lighter gun. Come on, man. You're better than that.
I think you'll grow to love him. Anyhow, we're on our pre-show Zoom, and we're talking about Squid Game. And RJ says, did you finish? I said, I did. And he starts asking me these questions. And I said, I don't want to continue to talk about it because I don't want to ruin it for Ray. And Ray, I said, I don't want to ruin it for Ray. And what did you hear?
I heard, I don't want to root for Ray because I'm so conditioned. I'll admit that I'm so conditioned and battered at this point to hear every word that you say towards me as insulting. You know, IYA, pause, B. You know, you've already set an example here, Dave.
No, but I'm trying to do right by you, and I'm like, I don't want to ruin it for Ray. You're like, wait, why do you want to root for me?
You can't blame me for reacting that way. I was half engaged because I was making sure that we're going to start the show properly, and all I heard was, I don't want to root for Ray. I'm like, why? What did I do to you this time?
Yeah, he was so upset. But that, I mean, I root for you all the time.
That's debatable.
Big
I don't know about that
guy.
I do not know about that.
So here's what I want, and I don't want you to do it on the spot. I want you to think about this. I want you to get to it later in the show. I want five descriptive words that you would use for me. You are slurping on it. And I want to see if mean is one of those five words. Okay?
I think mean is probably.
I don't want you to do it now.
No, I'm not going to. You want me to do it?
Yeah.
No, I thought you want Ray to do it.
No, Ray I think thinks I'm mean.
No, I got a couple words that I would use I can't use on the radio.
Wow.
Although I've never heard them dump before.
You don't think very highly of me at all.
No, I do. I do, but I'm willing to point out you have some flaws.
What is my biggest flaw in your mind? The biggest flaw that I have is...
You have to have darkness of the heart. Darkness of the heart!
Not so much the darkness of the heart. See, that's a tough question. You put me on the spot. Let me think about it.
Okay. Think about that. I want five descriptive words to explain who I am, and I want the one thing, the one specific thing that jumps off the page right away when it comes to me.
I don't care about
yep.
your children.
Rub my glutes.
I mean, you are the same guy that did forget he had a baby.
Just for a second.
I forgot we had a baby.
What do you mean, just for a second? That's a second
too long. I mean, he was in a
long.
Safe place. He was sleeping in another room. It's not like I'm one of those animals that leaves the child in the car.
I work with little babies.
That happens a lot, actually.
Those are terrible people.
Yeah, that's amazing.
All right. So a couple things I want to get to. I want to get to the Knicks, but before we get that, we talked a lot of Patriots in hour one. So they're 7-4 right now, right? Listen,
yes.
7-4, that's right, yes?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Listen to the next 4 weeks they have. Host the Titans.
Yep.
At the Bills.
Bye.
Host the Colts. Host the Bills.
Yeah, it's a tough stretch.
That is a tough four-game run. And then they close out with hosting the Jaguars and at the Dolphins. So, I mean, if they go, they go 2-2, that's 9. They win their last 2, that's 11. There's no reason this team can't go 11-6 this year.
No, the way that the defense is playing, the way they can run the football. I mean, how accurate Mac Jones is. I mean, it's starting, and we were talking about this during the break. I mean, it's starting to remind you of the early 2000 teams. That where you don't ask the quarterback to do too much. You make a couple big throws during the game. You run the football and you play great defense. And that's what this team is right now. Is it
yeah,
not?
But he's going to get better.
Like, no, I know he's going to get better. And they'll ask him to do more. I'm just saying, like, this team, those early Patriots teams with Tom Brady were built around the defense.
Yeah.
And then they would, you know,
could you
as
imagine
Tom
if
progressed,
you are starting,
they would ask him to do more and more.
If you are starting just another 18 years of another really good quarterback.
Oh, that's not what it feels like right now to you?
You know, it certainly is what it feels like to me. All right, so we mentioned something yesterday, and I mentioned something yesterday, and then a caller, you would trade R.J. Barrett for Damian Lillard? And here's, the important question when it comes to the Knicks right now. Is anyone untouchable? Is anyone untradeable? Because I don't think so. There's not one guy on this roster that for the right piece in return that I would say is an untouchable piece to the Knicks right now.
No, I would probably agree with that. Depending on what the deal actually is. But, yeah, I mean, you heard we had Allen on yesterday saying the pieces don't fit. And he covers the team, loves the team. You heard what Stephen A. had to say. I'm sure we have the sound for Stephen A. But, I mean, this... What's crazy, though, it felt like early on in the season that it was going to work. I mean, didn't it?
It felt like that, but it doesn't feel like that now.
No, it didn't. I mean, it got off to a great start. Kemba was shooting well. I mean, Fournier was shooting well. Like, okay, yeah, we're going to be a better offensive team this year.
Well, you're 5-1. I think I saw this, that the Knicks have the lowest winning percentage of any team in the Eastern Conference in November.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, I was looking through some stuff yesterday, and they had you brought up that StatMuse stat with
Julius
Randle.
Which I still stand by was a good stat.
No, it was a great stat, but you didn't. I mean, I don't think you went far enough with it. So he's minus 68 in his last 5 games.
Julius Randle, we're talking about.
Julius Randle.
Yep.
His averages in that span: 3.4 assists a game, 3.6 turnovers a game, 38% from 38.3 field goal percentage, 36.8 3-point percentage, and 45.5 free throw percentage.
All right, so the only number that you look at, you're like, oh, that's pretty good, is his 3-point percentage.
Yeah, and he's been hoisting them up.
Oh, he has no fear when he's standing outside the arc, none. But I mean,
10 of his 11 shots last game were from three.
His free throw percentage is 45%
in the last 5 games.
He's shooting 36% from the floor. He's turning the ball over more than assists. Like, these are unimpressive numbers.
38.3 is his field goal percentage.
Terrible.
It hasn't been good.
The starting five
has been bad. I mean, you're lucky your bench has been playing lights out.
So what do you want to see? You want to see more Obi Toppin?
I would like to see more minutes from Obi Toppin.
I'd like to see more minutes from Alec Burks.
Well, I think you'll get that. I think you have to get that. I can't imagine that you can keep rolling out Kemba and Fournier together as a unit. They're just too bad defensively.
You would hope not.
The whole structure of the defense breaks down. If Kemba Walker's not taking a charge, he is a bad defender.
He's a bad defender. I mean, he has something that he's good at. But overall, he's a bad defender. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. DPH or Rothenberg, presented as always by Progressive Insurance. Let's hear from our little friend, Peter Rosenberg, from the K Show. The question is, do the Knicks have any untouchable players? Here is the answer from Peter.
Is there an untouchable? I tend to think Barrett would be, you really would like to keep Barrett. I'd love to keep Mitchell Robinson if you can. And just and listen, I know this isn't going to be a piece that you're fighting to keep because of age. But for what he means to the team potentially, if you're trying to be a real team right now, I'd love to keep Derrick Rose around. But yeah, Michael, if the right thing comes along, if you're a hardcore Knicks fan, can you tell us that if the right trade came along, there's anybody on this team you absolutely will not let go of?
No, there's not an untouchable on team.
Now, a couple things. Firstly, I for the life of me, and I haven't understood it for a while, and I mentioned it years ago, what this absolute love affair with Mitchell Robinson is. First of all, there's not a game that goes by that I don't think to myself, he's going to wind up getting hurt. Not a game that goes by. I like RJ Barrett, but if you're telling me I can get a star player for Robinson and Barrett, I would do that immediately, Rick. They don't have a star player. The best player they have is Julius Randle, and I'm sorry, he is not a star player.
Well, actually, I mean, in all honesty, the most, I mean, your best player, most consistent player has been Derrick Rose.
Okay, but long-term, Derrick Rose is not going to be a staple of this organization.
No, I mean, Julius Randle just signed the big extension. He's coming off a great year last year. He was second-team All-NBA, so yeah, I get what you're saying. I think the expectation going into the season was that Julius Randle would give you a season maybe not as good as he gave you last year because that was just, I mean, everything fell into place for Julius Randle last year. But it would be a similar type of season from him. And then RJ Barrett would take that next step. And it would be maybe you don't have a one, but you got two damn good twos.
You know what I'm saying? A high two and a legitimate two. Right?
Exactly right.
That would be, and with the rest of the pieces and the coach, that is a recipe for a really good season. But the problem is, Julius Randle, let's be fair, has reverted back to what he was 2 years ago. RJ Barrett, who I still like, is not a great player by any stretch. And the Knicks right now give you real pause for concern. And I think all those things are fair to say.
Julius Randle at the moment has the ball way too much. Way too much.
Way too much for a guy that doesn't seem like he's very good at the moment.
Well, but he shouldn't be the one that's facilitating the offense. I understand he's, like, as far as...
But they don't have a point guard. They don't have a true, legitimate, get-you-involved-in-the-game point guard.
Wasn't that what Kemba Walker was supposed to be?
But is he that guy?
Well, no, he hasn't been that guy. And when you watch this team, especially in the half-court play offense, because they don't play with pace or tempo, it's predictable, it's stagnant. I mean, you name it. It's okay, here, Julius, it's your turn. And then it's your turn. And then it's, you know, hopefully we can kick this ball out before the shot clock. Before the shot clock.
Shoot a three, baby.
Shoot a three. And then
shoot a three.
It's one and done, and then it's back down the other end.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You're making a list of everything I do that upsets you?
No, I'm just adding it to the list of the five words to describe you.
How many do you have?
Because I have more than five.
Do you have any at the moment?
I have more than five. I'm trying to get to just five.
Okay, we'll do that in the 7 o'clock hour. Let's get to the Knicks calls at the moment. Devin in Shrub Oak. Devin, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, boys. No, you guys are doing good. I'm doing fine, too. So I called in like probably a month ago when the Knicks were actually shooting and they were 5-1 and all that stuff. And the question I posed was, what's going to happen when the team stops shooting? And now we know what's happening. And, Rick, you said, you know, they were stagnant. There's no ball movement. There's no player movement. And then you look at the bench that comes in, and that's all you see. Players are moving the ball. The ball's zipping up court. Derrick Rose made that horrible pass cross court to RJ Barrett to lose the game the other night. I just don't know why we're not calling plays. We're engaging more pick and rolls, more screens away from the ball. And I agree. I think Julius Randle has reverted to the – I'm the best player. I have to make something happen, and he's pressing. So when you combine all of this, we get the product that we see on the floor. Can't wait to hear you guys' thoughts. Thank you so much for the call. Have a great day and a lovely Friday. Bye.
Oh, what a call. You know what I love about that call the most? I know you guys are doing well. I'm also doing well. Let me get right into my point. I adored that call.
That was a fantastic call. We've had a couple good calls today. On a football Friday? I mean, that's the expectation, though, isn't it? On a football Friday,
I think the expectation with our listenership is always that they're going to be good calls. And it doesn't always live up to that. But today it certainly has. I think he's right. I think that Julius Randle does not look like the same player. And he's trying to do too much.
Yeah, but the whole thing just doesn't fit right. It feels off. Like, this guy, I mean, there's a lack of chemistry. I don't know whether it's like he's trying to get other people involved whatever it is. I mean, the thing with Kemba Walker, too, is I mean, we've had games and recently where he gets off to really good starts and then you don't see him for the rest of the game. I don't know if it's because of the knee. It's tough to bring him back into the game. If he's so bad defensively, you can't trust him. But there's no reason in that last loss against Orlando, which still makes me sick to my stomach, that the bench goes out. Alec Burks has a great fourth quarter. They go on that run. They give you a six-point lead. And then there was that moment where you're like, okay, it looks like it's time. Like they're worn down. The momentum seems to have stopped here for the moment. Let's bring the starters in and let them finish this thing out. And they couldn't do it. He didn't feel comfortable going to the starters in that moment.
No. Would you?
No.
And
absolutely not. I mean, you saw what Julius Randle looked like down the stretch. Didn't take a shot in the last almost 4 minutes.
No, this is not the same player you had last year. Andre Westchester. Good morning, Andre. You're on 98.7. Hey,
good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing? You know, what we have here is a double-edged sword. Julius Randle is actually, you know, the hero, but also he's also the tradable expense right here. Because sometimes in his game, you have the ego, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. And the best players out there will not be able to mesh with this guy. It's just facts. So, therefore, he is the most tradable. And you have to put an Obi Toppin in that slot. Because the minutes and the style that he plays is adjustable to having the point guard actually lead the floor charge. It shows you in Derrick Rose, even though he has limited ability now because of advanced age, but if that's what needs to happen, Kemba Walker needs to facilitate, shoot, and have a high shoot percentage. Right now, everybody's playing back to the respect of Julius Randle, even the coach possibly, because he knows he recreated this guy.
It's a problem, Andre, and thanks for the call. It is a problem. I mean, Julius Randle is not the same player, and Julius Randle demands to have the basketball at every turn, and that's a problem.
No, it's a problem. I mean, it is. And we're seeing a lot more of the Julius Randle we saw in 2019 as opposed to what we saw last year.
Which drove us insane.
It drives you crazy, right? But I don't know how you fix it. I wish I knew how you fixed it, but there is a distinct difference in even how the crowd reacts to it. When that bench unit comes in, the amount of energy they bring, the intensity on defense, how much faster they play, getting out in transition. I mean, it's just, I don't enjoy watching the starting five play basketball. I don't.
It's boring to
watch them play basketball. There's no,
I mean,
and then you watch Golden State. Like, Steph Curry is one of the greatest players we've ever seen. The guy doesn't stop moving. Does not stop moving. And he had another game last night.
He hit nine threes again.
Nine threes last night. But there's no movement. That's the thing. Like, you say no ball movement. There's no player movement either. Like, everyone's just standing around.
They don't have a point guard. I think it goes back to that. They don't have a guy to facilitate the offense.
They play too slow. They play, that starting five plays way too slow. Way too slow.
Let's go to Gil in Newburgh. Good morning, Gil. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. It's like what everybody's saying about Julius Randle. My biggest problem on this team is RJ Barrett. I don't think he's ever going to be a star in this league. I think he's just going to be an average ball player. The man doesn't have the mentality to go get the ball. He should be going and get the ball. The other day you had a caller say, oh, they should be giving him the keys to the city. This is New York. You want the keys, go get the keys. Look at Cole Anthony for Orlando. He wanted the ball in that fourth quarter. You don't see Barrett doing that. Barrett runs to the corner and waits for the kickout. At this point, he should be going to get the ball. And that's my biggest problem right now. I wouldn't mind trading R.J. Barrett. If they were to get rid of him, I would not have a problem.
Well, now, I think it comes down to, thanks to the call, Gil, I'm not trading him to trade him. Like, I like R.J. Barrett. But if I could trade him and bring back a big-time player, a star player, a facilitating player, would I do that? I would.
See, that's my question, though, because we've seen spurts. I mean, R.J. went on that run. We had 35. Like, he went on a nice run where it seemed like he was more engaged and it was, you know, screw this, I'm going to take over. I wonder if the dynamic, you know, having Julius Randle as the guy limits what R.J. Barrett feels comfortable doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but like, the coach has to get involved with that.
Is it stunting his growth a little bit?
It's possible.
I'd also like to see him at the two. I mean, I think that's his better position is the two. I mean, you got to get creative with this lineup. You have to. Because right now, I mean, that starting five is a mess. It's not working. Because you're not getting the benefit of the great offense, the better offense, to go along with the terrible defense.
Not
at all.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
When I step up in the place, say yo, I step correct.
Oh, yes. Intro music. DPetro Rothenberg presented by Progressive Insurance. And it's Rick, how you feeling now? You excited? You anxious? You nervous? Where are your emotions at?
This is like you just wake up on Christmas morning, mm-hmm. and you haven't gone downstairs to see whether or not Santa had left you gifts yet.
Well,
I'm not excited.
I'll tell you what. I have seen under the tree. Santa has been here, and Santa has left us a beautiful Buster Olney. Good morning to the one and only Buster Olney. Good morning, Buster.
This whole thing is really weird to me. We'll get into it. But all I know is that, you know, the Times have been going through social media and then their references to it, like, did you hear what they said? Did you? And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Anyway, we said nothing wrong. Never once did we say anything wrong. We missed you. We wanted to have you on the show. And we'll get to it in a couple minutes. Let's get to real world baseball, and then we'll tackle the issues that the three of us might have as a unit here.
Do we have a therapist who's in the room? I just need to know.
We're gonna get one. We're gonna figure this whole thing out. So, all right, it's perfect day to have you on, Billy Epler. It that's done. Press conference later today. I think 12:30 via the Zoom. Is this a good hire for the Mets? And where does this lead as far as manager is concerned?
Well, first off, I think it's a good hire under in the context that they're in that they needed some bedrock, okay, for their front office. The big surprise last year among rival executives was when Sandy Alderson hired Jared Porter and then he hired Zach Scott. People who know Sandy were like, he hired two people that he doesn't know. Like, he needs to get someone that he knows. That he's very confident in, and Billy Epler is someone that he's known for a long time, who is very respected in the business, is just rock solid as a person, and can hit the job running because he's been in New York, he's been in a market with the Angels where the owners perceived to be unusual and difficult, perhaps. You know, all of that is something that's known for Billy. I did a piece, it's going to post on ESPN.com this morning, where I talked to a bunch of people who worked in New York, and most of them know Billy really well and asked for advice. And what I got back was, just be you, basically, is what they're saying in terms of how he fits. And the perspective of at least one of the people that I talked to is, don't try to sell the fans on a long-term plan. It's New York. It's the Mets fans. It's a great fan base. Come in and do what you can to win right away, because if you do that, if you win right away, you're good. Like Billy Epler, it'll be the golden child if they can win right away. But as you guys know, trying to find the path to that is going to be challenging.
All right, Buster, before I ask my two-pronged question, I want to apologize for the voicemail. It was a mistake.
Did you hear his voicemail, Buster?
I saw that he called. I must say I was in the middle of a bunch of stuff that morning, and so I couldn't get to it. But you actually proved my point, okay, that I was going to make about this whole thing. But go ahead.
Buster, before Rick asks his question, since you haven't heard the voicemail, let's play you what he left yesterday. And Buster, it's very awkward going in. Just know that. Go ahead.
Hey, Buster, how you doing? It's Rick DiPietro calling. You get a chance, give me a call back. I don't know if it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you, and we'd love to have you back on the show. So you get a free moment, give me a call back. Look forward to hearing from you. Bye.
Yeah.
So, Buster, if you're in a bad mood.
Well, it was so fun. No, it was a good move, but I will tell you, it was within the context of about 10 text messages that day from various producers, from RJ and others, basically saying, can you come on the show? Can you come on the show? And as they say, it was in the middle of a bunch of stuff. And so I was like, okay, this is part of the whole recruiting process, right? It's like when you're being recruited by a college and the ex superstar player calls you, and then you get the 14 letters, and you get the emails, and in this case, I got the voicemail, but so totally appropriate.
Yeah, we're very desperate here. Very desperate. all right, two things. So first part of the question is this. How much of the Billy Epler hiring has to do with his relationship with David Stearns as we move down the road here? And the other part of the question is, why does no one want to be the president of baseball operations for the Mets?
Yeah. One, and it's interesting because I had some of the people that I asked for advice for Billy were saying that they found Sandy's explanation the other day that nobody wants to come to New York to be ridiculous. They found that, not in touch with reality. It is without a doubt questions about Steve Cohen and how he does his business. You know, this modern generation of statistical analysts and people who are used to numbers, they like to feel control. And with Steve Cohen, there are all kinds of questions about how he's going to be day to day. And so, and I'm not speaking necessarily for Theo or for Billy Bean or, you know, directly citing what they believe, but there are people who are like, geez, you know, you got the owner tweeting out injury information before it's conveyed to the staff. We can't have that. We have the owner tweeting out, you know, news about the game is rained out before that's actually told the people in the clubhouse. We can't have that. And so there is a lot of hesitation around Steve Cohen and the fact that he leads the league in tweets among owners. It's unusual in this day and age. I think that Billy, because he worked with the Yankees, and he didn't necessarily work under George Steinbrenner, but he came in right after that. He's going to have some awareness. And Artie Moreno, the Angels owner, is known as being maybe the most difficult owner in baseball in terms of how he veers, you know, side to side. So Billy's going to have some experience in that. And look, I think that they get Billy at a time vis-a-vis David Stearns where, let's face it, Billy can kind of make his own ticket. If he does find a path to win next year and the Mets are sitting there, you know, having had champagne celebrations, if they win the division or if they, let's say they win a round in the playoffs, Billy Epler is going to look like a pretty good choice to be head of baseball operations. If they lose, then Billy's title is at a place where they can, you know, pivot and go after David Stearns. And David Stearns and Billy are two people who know each other well. I'm sure they would work well together. And the expectation is that, you know, next year is going to be Sandy's last year working for the Mets.
All right, so Buster only with us here, 98.7 ESPN. You kind of touched on the offseason and you know, if they turn this into a winning franchise and the pressure on Billy Epler. So what do you think they do? They've lost Syndergaard. That came as a surprise to me. I don't know your take on that. But, you know, Baez is out there. Conforto, he's probably going to be gone. Is Castellanos a real guy? Like, where are we as far as what you think the Mets could look to do now this offseason?
Yeah, and the priority has to be that rotation. Because they just don't have, speaking of bedrock, they just don't have that much. Syndergaard was potentially going to be a piece. He's gone. I'm with you. I was surprised that some team stepped up and gave him that kind of money, but that was the level of desperation for the Angels. I don't blame the Mets at all for not chasing that price tag. I think they were a little bit queasy giving him the qualifying offer at $18.4 million, and you know what? That they now wind up with draft pick compensation, so that was a good decision. But not knowing what they're going to get out of DeGrom, not knowing what they're going to get out of Carlos Carrasco because of the injury histories of both those guys, they have to focus on starting pitching. And I think in this particular market, there's such a high volume of available, you know, high-end guys, Robbie Ray, Kevin Gausman, Marcus Stroman. I think the market will come back to them. They'll get one of those guys. And the question is depth and where do they go from there? And you do wonder about, you know, the third base market, whether it's, you know, Chris Bryant potentially would be a free agent. Will they be having conversation with the Athletics about Matt Chapman, given that Oakland has basically signaled to the business, look, we're dealing everybody. I think Chapman is the absolute best fit. And as I say, the advice that the other folks are giving Billy is don't worry about a five-year plan right now. Just do everything you can to make the team better next year because they're going to have to overcome the defending champions.
Buster only joins us here on the show. Buster, let's pivot to the Yankees here for a second. Where do they go at short? We've heard Seager, we've heard Semien. I mean, you're talking with with Correa and Seager, the numbers are going to be humongous. And then the other interesting rumor that I heard that I think would be a great fit for the Yankees, tell me if you heard the same thing, potentially, you mentioned the A's, making a move to get Matt Olson at first base.
Yeah, and he's a great fit in a lot of ways, except I think that first base is probably down their list of priorities. Number one is shortstop, and from what I understand, they are queasy about the asking prices for Corey Seager, and Carlos Correa in particular. You know, the ask there are over $300 million and contracts of 10 years or more. And let's face it, part of the queasiness from the Yankees is the fact that, you know, their perspective, I think, on Aaron Judge has changed since a year ago when we were asking the question, boy, how many games does he play? Can he stay on the field? Well, he did, and he had a fantastic season. And now I think he, you know, if he wasn't necessarily 100% rock solid, being someone the Yankees wanted to keep long-term a year ago, I think now he is becoming a priority, which is why I wouldn't all be surprised if they work from the, you know, the B tier of shortstops and you know, the less expensive tier of shortstops. If you told me that Trevor Story was the Yankees shortstop on opening day next year, that wouldn't be a shock to me. Simeon, same thing. That wouldn't be a shock to me because they're going to be less expensive than those other two guys.
Interesting stuff. Buster, let's try to get to the bottom of what happened with us and the relationship with me, Rick, and you before we let you go. And you know we're such fans of you. Was it my direct message to you that set things off? Was it my going after your son for his Titans take? Like, what was it? Was there a miscommunication with RJ? What, in fact, was it that started this whole thing? Or was this much ado about nothing?
Well, I think it's mostly much ado about nothing. But I did find, there's no doubt, I found your direct message to be odd. Like you asked me, hey, can I get your direct phone number? And I'm laughing because I'm like, when I saw it, I was like, you have my number. I mean, like RJ will reach out to me all the time. He's got my personal
But
message.
Here's what I didn't want to do. But here, I didn't want to just get your number without your approval. I wanted to go through the proper channels and be respectful to you and have you say, yeah, of course, Dave, here's my number. So what you did is you never responded, and then you ghosted us, and I thought it was because of me, but I'm finding out it wasn't.
No, and Rick proved it the other day because, you know what, he just got my number and called me.
You left a beautiful message. Beautiful.
You want to hear the message again, boss?
No.
You did.
Hey, Buster, how you doing? It's Rick DiPietro calling.
Stop.
If you get a chance, give me a call back. I don't know if it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you, and we'd love to have you back on the show. So you get a free moment, give me a call back. Bye. Look forward to hearing from you. Bye.
Bye. How about that? Like he sounded like a teenage girl. Bye.
Bye. So you get a free moment.
Well, I don't know if that was more of a teenage girl or what you – I didn't know if that was more of a teenage girl or what you did, which is to ask me for a number when you already have it.
No, but you're missing the point, Buster. I was trying to be ultimately respectful to you and make sure that you wanted me to have the number. And maybe
you
I misplayed
have the number
my hand.
Whether I wanted you to have it or not.
Maybe I misplayed my hand. Rick, you and I had talked about something. Do I do it or do I not?
I think you try it. Shoot your shot.
All right. Buster, it's the holiday season. Thanksgiving is next week, and of course, Christmas, Hanukkah, all the wonderful holidays that we enjoy. I would like to throw this out there for you. You and I live not too far from each other. I would like to extend the olive branch. I would like to offer a lunch, me and you, on me. I will pick up the check. Is that something that you would be interested in doing?
I can do it after the holidays. I'm actually going to be in Vermont next week. But no question, we will definitely do that, and I will hand you my phone number that you already have.
Yes.
Yes.
It is celebration
time.
What a day. We're
what
back.
A day.
What a day that's going to be. I'm going to text you. I have the number. I'm not afraid to use it. I'm going to reach out. Buster, we love you. Look forward to your article on ESPN.com later about the Mets and some advice for Billy Epler. You're the best. We've missed you. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. Great talking with you. See ya.
Take care. Look at that. I'm in.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You stepped up to the plate. So I'm one for one now. I'm actually, I feel bad because I was the one to say, yeah, send the DM with the number. But now my advice paid off.
Yeah.
Look at you guys going to lunch.
That's right. Oh, that's going to be a lunch. Getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit is another reason banking is with Capital One is the easiest decisions in the history of decisions.
This is going well.
Banking. What?
This read is going well.
Play his message again. Do me a favor.
No.
No, really.
Please. How are you doing? It's Rick DiPietro calling.
I have ammunition that you can't combat with. Like, you have little
if,
shots
if
from
it's
a rifle.
I did, or if it's something Dave did, but we love you.
Why did my voice change? I don't understand.
I love it.
Like, real somber.
All right. That is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Finished much better. Guests on the show, like Buster Olney, appear via the Goodyear hotline. And right now, people, is your chance to qualify for the Week 11 Pigskin Payout. It's your chance to play in the 98.7 ESPN Sportsbook and win up to $1,000 for correctly picking the Jets and Miami Dolphins game. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, to qualify. And it is now time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. And we do that with going around the league, Week 11 in the NFL.
It's time to go around the league.
All right, I don't even know why we do this anymore, to be honest. We're going to make our selection against the K Show. I guess I'll be on again at 5:55 just to take their slings and arrows, and that's fine. I can handle those guys. So let's start. I like the first game right off the bat. I like it. Eagles at home, giving 2 to the Saints. I don't know if Kamara is going to play. I like the Eagles in this one.
You just said, did I hear that right? You just said you like the Eagles in that one?
I like the Eagles, yep.
Oh, my God, you've lost your mind. Never would I think in my wildest dreams that would come out of your mouth.
E-A-G-L-E-S,
I do.
How about Santi just gave me, as you were finishing up your reads, so you got Sloman's. He pulled at you. He was trying to send us to break.
Send us to break?
He was trying to send us right to break.
Yeah, he'll tell me don't take that road down to Tinton Falls. But don't lose sight. Eagles -2. You don't like them in this game?
No, I do. No, Eagles are playing good football. They are. I mean, no Kamara. I don't love their quarterback situation. They got a good defense. I could be talking to the Eagles.
I think we just go with that. I think that's it. We can look at the rest of the games, but we ride with the Eagles.
No, I think let's start the Eagles first. The whole point of the segment is to go around the league.
We'll go around the league, but I know what happens. Then we'll talk ourselves out of something. You like the Eagles. I like the Eagles. You know I wouldn't like them if I didn't really like them. I think that's the game we go with.
Listen, it's been bad. It can't get worse. So if you like the Eagles, we could go with the Eagles if you want.
Let's continue around the league quickly. Dolphins, Jets. Dolphins giving 3 points. The vaunted Dolphins defense
will
be making a trip up to New York. Yeah.
I mean, it's very exotic.
Yeah. Like Tiger King exotic.
Have you watched the new episode of that yet?
No, I don't think I'm going to either.
Yes, you are. You'll watch it. What are you looking for?
In the episode or in the Jets Dolphins?
No, in the Jets Dolphins game.
I kind of like the Dolphins in this one, but I don't know. The Jets are weird. I could see them keeping this game close.
No, it's because you got Joe Flacco and what he brings, all that experience he brings to the table.
It's a lot of experience.
He's seen it.
Ravens, Bears, Ravens in Chicago giving 4.5. Hollywood Brown hasn't practiced yet this week. Rashad Bateman is not feeling well.
Lamar Jackson
is sick. I would tend to avoid this one.
All right, let's avoid it.
Lions, Browns. It's so bad for Detroit that Jared Goff might not make the start this week.
I think
it's 11.5, by the way.
I think the Browns are gonna kill the Lions.
I agree with you.
You know who's playing quarterback
as well?
Can let's play the guessing game. If Jared Goff, he's got the strained oblique, can't play, hasn't practiced, can't play, who is gonna be the starting quarterback for the Lions?
You know what's pathetic?
Is that you know this.
No. We were talking about it before. I was talking about it with RJ. He mentioned the name, and I still don't remember what the guy's
name
is.
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
No, it's not David Blow. It's going to be Tim Boyle.
Tim Boyle? What was he, a Packers backup?
And he's actually missed. He broke his thumb in the preseason, but he's been he's been really doing a lot mentally to be ready for this moment.
Oh, good. So mental reps.
Mental reps. A lot of mental reps.
Very, very important. Houston Texans, and I agree with you. I like Cleveland -11.5. Houston at Tennessee. Tennessee given 10.5. No, I'm not doing that.
No. I mean, listen, and Tennessee's been on. I mean, when you look at their wins and what they've been able to do, what they've been doing, I don't know. This feels like one of those moments where they'll win, but
I agree.
Maybe they take their foot off the gas a little bit.
Buffalo giving 7 at home against the Colts. I don't love this game, but if I was forced into a pick, I would actually take the Colts plus
points. I would take the points, yep.
All right, RJ, mark that one down as well. Green Bay on the road in Minnesota, laying 1.5. We're not going to take this one because it's too dicey, but I kind of like Minnesota in this one.
Yeah, I think I would take the Vikings, too. This is a sketchy number for me. It really is. With as good as Green Bay's defense has played, and it sounds like Aaron Rodgers is going to be like talking about with the hit pieces and everything else. Like he's out to prove something right now. But it just only be a 1.5.
Well, you have no Aaron Jones, and I know you love Dylan, but that's still a loss. And I don't know. I don't think the Packers, even though they won last week, they didn't look great, and Rodgers didn't look great, and Minnesota looked good in their home, and it's 1 o'clock. So yeah, I tend to want to avoid this one. Carolina laying 3.5 at home against Washington. Yeah, this I'm not anywhere near picking this one.
No, but if you were to lean one way, you'd probably lean. I mean, it looks like Cam is gonna start the game. Washington coming off a big win. Bad teams off big wins going to Carolina. Chase Young's done for the season.
Yes, he is.
I would probably lean Carolina that one.
Yeah, but don't mark that one down, RJ. San Francisco at Jacksonville. The Niners off a phenomenal win on Monday night into Jacksonville. They're given 6.5.
I asked RJ about this game because he's got a good feel because the Niners are his team. And his only concern is what I just said about Washington. How do they respond after a humongous win going up against Jacksonville? I mean, give them credit. Like, They fight. Last couple weeks, they fight. So, I have a hard time believing that San Francisco, I mean, did San Francisco turn the corner now where all of a sudden they figured it out and they start rolling a little bit?
I mean, you know, remember 2 weeks ago they lost to Arizona and Colt McCoy. And then they go out and hammer the Rams. So, I don't think that I have a great feeling with this team. Cincinnati at the Raiders. Bengals by 1. Again, I don't know what Raiders team shows up. This is not one of my favorite games.
No, and I don't know what's going on with the Bengals. It's like maybe we just did. They got everyone excited, and now they're struggling a little bit. I still really like Joe Burrow, but I don't disagree with you. Going to Vegas, Vegas is dealing like emotionally dealing with so much inside that locker room.
They were brutal last week.
Yeah, this would not be one of the games that we should pick.
This might be the game of the week, but I will not be picking this one. Kansas City giving 2.5 at home against Dallas. I think we're all Chiefs fans this weekend.
Except Ray Santiago. Raimondo, how do you feel about Dallas in this game? You like them?
They're missing a lot of pass rushers. I think this game's going to be a shootout. It's going to come down to who has the ball last. It's going to be one of those games.
Yeah, but you say that, but I mean, is Kansas City's defense going to be able to stop Dallas? With Gallup back?
But at the same time, will Dallas' defense be able to stop KC?
Oh, the age-old question. Over-under on this one, 56.
Yeah, go over.
Oh, wow. Arizona at Seattle. I guess they have to figure that Kyler Murray's going to play because Arizona's laying 2.5 in this one.
Yeah, this is the season, though, isn't it, for Seattle?
Sure is.
This is the season.
Yeah, they lose this, they go to 3-7. Are they 3-7 now?
Yeah, they're close to being done.
Yeah, they really are on the verge of being done. And then I think they go to Washington next Monday night. So if they win, they could be a playoff team. If they lose, you're right. Season is about done. And Sunday night, Chargers giving 6 to the Steelers. I think baked into this number is that Roethlisberger will not play because the number was not 6. And now it's ballooned up to 6. So if it's Mason Rudolph, I kind of like the Chargers in this one.
Yeah, by the way, they're 3-6. Seattle's 3-6.
They had their bye. Okay, so they're
3-6. I would agree with that. Mason Rudolph is not good. I think the only concern if we're going to take this game is the Chargers can't stop the run. They do not stop the run.
No. So you figure Najee Harris has a big game, but if it's Mason Rudolph,
but their defense though too. I mean, is Minkah Fitzpatrick going to play in this game?
No, I don't think he's going to. We're not going to know about Roethlisberger, so we're not going to be able to take this game because every time we take a game, something changes and it blows up in our face. And then Giants Bucks, we'll get to that game on Monday. Buccaneers given 11. So there you have it. So for me, I still stand by it. Eagles minus the 2 is the way I'd like to go. And now I'd like to go, and it's just me and you, Survivor time.
This still we will survive no matter what.
It's the DNR Survivor Pool.
All right, time now for our Survivor Pool, brought to you by Jack Pocket. Those guys have free meals coming. It is just a determination of who's paying. Is it me or is it you? Rick, would you like to go first or would you like me to go first here?
I will go first. I am going to take the dumb, highly motivated, at home on Monday night, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You're taking the Bucs. See, I can't live in a world where I would.
No, I know,
and
that's
that.
Why, and that's why I did it.
All right, RJ, do I have the Titans available?
It appears you do.
Okay, lock them in, baby. The old Mike Vrabel-led Tennessee Titans, lock that away.
Come on, Houston. Come so on, Houston.
If Houston wins and Tampa wins, you now join those guys for the free dinner.
So you're going to have to pay dinner for it. That'll be dinner for us and then lunch for Buster.
That's right.
What if we all just make it one giant dinner?
No. Buster. Nice try. You're not honing in on my lunch with Buster. That's going to be me and Buster. We might go steakhouse.
Oh, so what are we going?
I don't know.
I want lobster.
Garbino's or whatever you said.
No, it's Gargiulo's.
Maybe I go there.
I want a beautiful seafood
tower.
You're
not getting a seafood tower. There is no chance.
Oh, I'm getting the tower.
No, you're not.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're not. There's no seafood tower. No, we're going to go to a nice restaurant. We're not going crazy and we're not slumming it. We're going to go to a fine restaurant.
I want some jumbo lump crab meat. I want the shrimp cocktail.
You're not getting crab meat. No chance.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.